This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Gling, clang, slip and slop. Gling and clang and slip and slop. Gling, clang, slip and slop. And gling and clang. And this is old song.
Alistair.
Yeah?
Welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas.
And you're Andy.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Alistair, George William Chomley Birchall. And we were recently on the Who Knew It with Matt Stewart podcast. Check it out.
Well, we weren't. You were.
Oh, I was.
I wasn't there.
Oh, sorry. I was on with Ben Russell and Raywin Pickering, and that was really fun.
Holy shit, that was a hilarious fucking episode.
Really? I haven't listened back.
Yes. But. Neither have I, but words got around.
Matt tweeted that
in my circles
that this episode, people have said that it's changed podcasting forever.
I think it's very possible that it has.
Really?
I love the relationship that you have with Ben Russell.
Yeah, because where I love him a tremendous amount, and it's like I really want to be his friend, but he has an emotional distance that he can't close.
He can't close, and as far as we know, has no interest in closing.
No, absolutely, yeah.
And he's definitely playing hard to get.
Yeah, and that's fine, because I mean, we're both, you know, basically 40, and we don't have time for this kind of bullshit.
I'm basically 40. Really fantastic episode. One of the things I think you mentioned in the podcast, this is me attempting to tag jokes from a different podcast.
Right.
I think it might have come up that Stephen King was. Am I right? Was this your podcast? We were talking about Stephen King writing a lot of his things set in Maine.
Wait, I feel like I've heard this spoken about recently. So it could have been. Yeah, it could have been.
Or was that on somebody else's podcast? I can't remember. Anyway,
yeah.
I thought we could. There was something to be said there about he's draining the Maine creative vein.
I think that's really good.
Or he's struck a rich. He's
struck a rich Maine vein.
Yeah.
That's when your kid accidentally kicks you in the nuts. I mean, and you have lots of money.
Yes. And you keep it in your penis.
Because, it's my penis that's rich. My dad died and left all of his fortune to my penis.
It's that scene from Pulp Fiction, but instead of a watch, it's a $50 note. And instead of keeping it in his ass, he rolled it up and slid it into his
penis.
His dick hole.
He said, I'll be damned.
He wanted you to have this ice cream money.
He said this $50 note was your birthright. He'll be damned if they're going to get their hands on your birthright, $50. Was it? It's this very fungible $50.
Hugely fungible.
One of the most fungible things that I could have given you.
I have a fungible infection, which means that it can, there's a lot of it, and it's easily transferred. That describes
something. Infection. I have an infection that's exactly the same as every other infection, and it can be interchanged.
Yeah.
Look, that's something.
The listeners will be thrilled to learn that I am recording this podcast at a new location with different dogs.
Oh.
So the
what dogs are these?
You might notice. Well, one of them's a German Shepherd, and the other is just a sort of a very noisy sort of general dog.
Oh, just an average dog.
Yes, it's the dog breed.
Yeah,
it's a dog oodle.
Do you think that it's a good sign, or like, do you think it's a sign of how good we are, or a sign of how bad our species is, or how bad our genus is, the human genus? Is that what we're, is our human genus or human species? Homo sapiens.
I think we're a species. I think Homo sapiens is a species.
So then, but the homo part, so the that's the genus, probably, maybe?
Homo is genus, I reckon, yeah. Blind people can often find green shoes. So genus is the one above species.
Great, yeah. Homo is the genus that emerged in the genus Australopithecus.
Australopithecus.
Australopithecus. No, Australopithecus. and so is it, do you think it's a bad sign that every other species in that genus has passed away? Or do you think
I think we're basically the black widow of other human species.
It's like the worse than a black species. Widow. It's like you have sex with them and then you wipe out their entire species. We're the white widows.
Yeah. The white widow. The wipe widow?
Ah, yes. The wipe window.
The black window? The wipe window.
The black window cider.
Wipe window. Now, what is that? What does that mean? Because white widow, I don't think is really an expression anyway, to start with. So we're already one step removed from referencing anything. And I love that we then take that to window, wipe, white window, and then we take the white to wipe, and now we're so far from having any kind of meaning that we create we've just opened up the entire universe. We've broken through the constraints of having to be connected to anything that we're referencing. That's where true creativity lies. Alistair, have we written down any sketch ideas?
We hadn't, but then while you went on your long rant just then,
I got on my high horse.
But I feel like you were hitting a rich main vein. M-A-I-N-E. V-E-I-N-E. And wipe out their species. I feel like there's something in that. I don't know what this is. You know, it's more of a joke. But I think that there is a film definitely in the last few Neanderthals, whatever they are. You know? And like what we've done to them.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Sure. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, you think about you think about movies like It Follows, which I'm sure I've referenced too much for a movie I haven't seen.
Yeah.
Or which is sort of, you know, I think you have sex with somebody and then there's this sort of thing following you trying to kill you.
Yeah.
Right.
That's good.
Now, it's like that. It's the last Neanderthal species. Right. Last Neanderthal like family group or whatever, and then there's just a bunch of Homo sapiens just trying to have to seduce them and dilute their gene pool. So instead of killing you, they're sort of it's a kind of genetic genocide.
Of course,
it's the great replacement theory, basically.
But of course, back in those days, we didn't know about gene pools and stuff. I think that there would have just been conflicting people within the humans, the Homo sapiens, and there were those who feared them and their differenceness, and those who were found that very arousing,
exotic,
you know, and maybe like they, you know, they might have just grown up, you know, over the hill from each other, and the children played together.
I like that Neanderthal brow; it gives me something to hold on to. You know, that kind of thing.
Keeps the sun out of my children's eyes.
keeps the sun out of my eyes when we're making love. If they lean over me.
I wrote a joke.
And I can get under it like a veranda.
I wrote a joke in French the other day. Because I'm reconnecting with my French, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And hang on. But then I can tell you in English, but it is on this topic. Hang on, it's going to reach it. It's over on the bed. Okay, wait, here.
I wrote a joke about French Canada recently. Did you? So when you've done your joke, well, I'm going to tell you mine.
Okay, do you want me to read it to you in French first?
Yeah, go for it. And I'll see if I can laugh at it.
Okay, je sais pas pourquoi le monde sont racistes. On n'est pas si différent. On est tous homo sapiens. il y avait un temps quand qui avait d'autres types d'humains, Homo habilis, Homo Neanderthal, je sais pas c'est quoi en français, anyway. Mais il y en a plus parce que le monde de toutes différentes cultures ont travaillé ensemble pour les éliminer. Puis j'espère, dans le futur, on pourrait recapturer ce dynamique. j'espère qu'un jour, on va arrêter de juger le monde pour la couleur de leur peau et à sa place, on va les juger pour la protrudation de leurs soucis.
Tell me all about this, Alistair. I'm on tenterhooks.
It's basically, I don't know why people are racist, right?
Mm.
You know, well, it wasn't always like this. You know, we're not that different. You know, like, I mean, we're all Homo sapiens. You know, there was a time when there was other types of humans, you know, Homo habilis, Homo Neanderthals, you know, And at one point, people of all cultures came together to wipe those things out. You know, and I hope that one day that we can recapture that dynamic, you know, come back together like that. You know, a time when we don't judge people based on the color of their skin, but on the amount their eyebrows protrude.
I wonder if it would be like kissing somebody wearing a baseball cap.
that's probably where the thing where people turn their heads to the side comes from when they kiss.
Mm, yeah, back when we all had that built-in baseball cap. Or maybe people who are attracted to skater boys, there's something in their DNA that they would have been the ones who were more likely to make out with the Neanderthal.
So he was a skater boy. Was more of a, like, he was a, you know, Neanderthal boy.
Oh, it's really good. It's really good. Here's my French-Canadian joke.
Okay.
Canada. For when you like your America. No, wait. For when you like your Americans, like you like you like. Fuck. Canada. For when you like your Americans, like you like your Vichyssoise soup. Cold and French.
What's Vichyssoise soup?
It's a cold French soup.
Oh, cold French soup. Yeah, that's great. You know, there's like lots of...
See?
Oh, yeah, there it is.
We're all laughing.
We're all laughing. I'm having a good time. I think, I enjoyed it.
I think, was it the three times I had to go?
I think the...
It's the like you like in the middle that tripped me up.
I think that the New Orleans French are basically the Quebec French that just traveled down. And what's great is when you hear some of them talk, you can go on your YouTube some like gumbo recipes and stuff like that, and you get some of those old really like stereotypical New Orleans chefs, and they're like, okay, now you gotta cut your onion. And now the best way to cut your onion is to you wanna slice your onion like this. Onion.
What about this? Right. It's a sketch in which somebody has a meal that they've prepared for somebody.
Mm.
Okay. And they bring it to the table. It's a big steaming pot. They take the lid off, right? And what's inside is basically a sort of thick, green, plasticky goop with a couple of eyeballs floating in it.
Wait, this is what? So it's a pot with a big plastic goop.
The stuff inside the pot, right?
Some eyeballs in it.
Is a plasticky green goop with some eyeballs floating in it.
Yeah.
And
like somebody melted Slimer or something.
Well, indeed. This is where we're going with this, right? And then the person who's been served this soup says, "No, I said I'd love to try a gumbo soup." Right? And then the door swings open behind the chef and we see in the kitchen the dismembered remains of Gumby.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
I guess it's a full life-size Gumby, right, that's been hacked to death and had their plaster. It's the plaster scene of the crime.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like I don't love the joke, but I love that you, how good you are at it.
Thanks.
You know what I mean?
Well, you know, the sort of the mechanical structure of the joke is more or less sound, you know. I put the right pieces in the right places, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
So structurally speaking, it's solid.
Yeah.
You know.
The plasticine of the crime. Because I think maybe that is also where we differ, is that I like to put the pieces in the wrong area.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
That's where I get my joy, a little hit of endorphins for fucking up a joke on purpose. Sometimes not on purpose. I mean, it's written down, Andy, a Gumby soup.
Oh, so this is really exciting. I mean, one of the problems with the joke is probably no one would say a gumbo soup, would they? They probably would
Not a soup, yeah.
Yeah. It is a kind of quite of a rich stewy type thing.
Yeah, I mean it is pretty soupy, and but they refuse to call it a soup.
And I respect that.
Yeah, you know what those Louisiana sorts are like.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite type of potato? You know how people like have thoughts on what kind of potatoes are good.
This is a great question to ask a Tasmanian because we're very.
You're like the Bolivians of Australia.
That's right.
Very rich potato diet. You have purple ones. You have ones that nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah, that's correct. And the ones that we were brought up to worship in my family were called pink eyes. You ever had the pink eye?
I don't know if I've ever had a pink eye.
Yeah, it's a really good roasting potato.
Really?
So, yeah.
Do you not...
Beautiful.
Do you ever? Is there any all-rounder potatoes that you're okay with?
No, well, I think there's too much compromise, and they're trying to achieve a sort of a broad appeal like that.
Yeah. But like, what if I told you that I wouldn't be able to tell the difference between one potato and another in terms of
Alistair, for comedic purposes, I'll pretend that is a real problem for me.
Yeah. Is it like
I'm outraged. And I think being able to tell the difference between different types of potatoes is one of the things that separates us from the beasts.
Yeah. Every potato has seemed exactly the same throughout my whole life.
Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, but I don't know. What's a good, you know, what's a good, in your opinion, a good potato salad potato?
Have you ever had a potato salad with... What are those little ones?
Kiplers?
Kiflers. Have you ever had one with Kiflers?
I've got no idea.
They're really good.
Yeah?
Yeah. So I'd recommend that.
Okay.
Give it a go.
All right. I will give that a go. Thank you so much. Is there a sketch in potato varieties?
I mean, I pitched to the studio a project that we could do, which would be the roast coast to coast, where we roast each state. and, you know, have an episode where we mock each state and territory of Australia one by one for half an hour, and then have a right of reply by a comedian from that state or territory. And I thought one of the things that we could mock Tasmania for was for caring about the different varieties of potatoes. I think.
Yeah.
I think it's a really stupid thing.
Despite
my very convincing, you know, persona in this episode of a guy who cares about different potato varieties,
yeah,
which I'm sure all the listeners have bought into, I am completely on your side, Alistair. And I was just assuming that position, like, you know, like a right wing media personality,
yeah,
who just is performative and is just doing it for the attention and for the money. That's the grift, you know.
I love that.
I was doing that same thing grift. For potatoes. Mm.
How much do you think that that's real, like that right-wing grift? Like, so many people are just like, oh, people are literally buying shit because it's just being marketed directly to them. And it's just saying the same old shit that everybody has always said.
I think that's a huge part of it.
Yeah.
I think once you get into that world and you start doing that performatively,
yeah,
it becomes, you know, you lose contact with the part of you that is real and that had any perspective on the issues, and you just play it like a game, which drives you further and further away from your basic humanity.
Yeah.
But I think that it's mostly bullshit. There are certain structural weaknesses in the human brain that you can exploit to make money and get attention, and people are always going to do that.
What's a funny thing that you could do that instead for?
Oh, great.
You know?
Going to the toilet?
Let's see. I'm going to the toilet. Yeah.
I mean, we should start a right-wing campaign which suggests that, you know, because toilets are a big part of stuff anyway. You know, the toilets are really in the as part of the discourse. That's all part of the debate now, toilets and who gets to go to what toilet. We should start something which suggests that having to go to the toilet at all is sort of just a conspiracy,
yeah,
right? And we should be able to shit and piss wherever we want.
Sure, yeah. I guess, the you know, that's the categorization that they've put us in is what's really at risk. We should be, if we went to the toilet out in the open, maybe that would be better. Like, that was probably what you were suggesting. But like, at least we could watch the kids while they're going to the toilet and make sure that no one's abusing them.
Yeah. Well, there should be a sort of panopticon style, toilet where actually you can be watched constantly by everyone while you go to the bathroom. Mm.
Yes. And I mean, that would be good for all of us because we all are at risk of being abused by people while we're in the bathroom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It should be it should be toilets that are arranged in a Mexican standoff style, sort of toilets in the round, right?
Mm.
And they're all sitting and they're all facing each other, okay? So that you can monitor and be monitored whenever you're going to the toilet. I didn't
get that. Yeah, well, it wasn't a fully formed joke, so that's why.
Yeah. Shut the fuck up, Siri.
You know, Siri's become a big part of the comedy Bang Bang show.
Really?
Yeah, because Scott keeps forgetting to turn off some feature on his laptop or whatever like that. And so there's just so many episodes in the last year where it's like, Siri's back. It starts like that. Yeah, look, I like that. What about also a group that is very concerned about, it's a conservative group, of course, but they are very concerned. Maybe it could be a liberal group, I'm not sure, but they're very concerned about groups that claim to be protecting children from dangers, but that they may in some way be exploiting children.
Whoa.
Right?
Okay.
And so this group is trying to stop the exploitation of children through creating groups that like try to protect children from exploitation. Now, it feels like it's still a couple of notches away from being funny.
Well, I think I still didn't quite even catch what you're describing.
Okay, so for example, this movement what's this kind of like this conservative movie that's been released, The Freedom of Something, and there's
the Sound of Freedom,
and it kind of comes from these groups who are very concerned about child trafficking, right?
Yeah.
This thing that is mostly not a huge issue, especially in places like America and things like that, right?
Yes, and when it does seem to be uncovered as occurring, it's usually a right-wing person who's doing it in some way.
Yeah. So then you kind of go like, well, and I think there's kind of talks about that film that maybe some of the people who are involved in making it are actually a group that gets in the way of people who are doing real work to stop child trafficking.
Sure.
Right? And so you try to create a group that tries to stop groups like that from taking advantage of children through saying that they're protecting them, which I guess in many ways is what the church was also doing a lot of the time, was just like saying that they're helping people and then they just get access to kids.
Yeah.
Right. And so we're a group that's trying to stop, but this in the sketch, it's a group that's trying to stop the exploitation of children from groups that claim to be trying to help children save them from exploitation, and they call everybody groomers and all that kind of stuff like that. And then we add some comedy to it.
Yeah, great. Are we trying to basically we want to raise the next generation of people who are going to stop child exploitation, right?
Yeah.
And so we're actually getting kids very young,
at a young age.
Sending them off to camps, and we're creating all sorts of Sunday schools and programs that train the children and indoctrinate them in fighting child exploitation. This doesn't feel funny yet.
I don't know, the easiest way to stop it would be if you had a guy on the inside, who could tell you that there is exploitation happening. And the best way would be to train children.
Sure.
They're more likely to be where there's going to be, some of that happening.
That's right. We're sending them in undercover. We're sending you in, oh God, as a victim. Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
This is what we're talking.
Yeah. But, it could be a victim of just getting morally exploited.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a way to do this. I mean, we could take the topic and change the topic so it isn't something quite so fraught as child exploitation. It's so much fun to have fun with it. What if we changed it to something else?
Okay, like dog exploitation. Dog fighting.
Well, yeah, or like poaching seals or something like that.
It would be cool if you could get a dog, though. If you could get a dog and put it undercover. Now, let's say your dog is called Rover. But you're like, no, now your name is Peanuts.
Okay.
You only answer to Peanuts.
Yeah.
And so
and the dog goes undercover with, I guess, a bikie gang and has to do some awful stuff, right, to win their trust.
What kind of stuff do you think a dog would have to do to get the trust of some bikies?
Probably kill a lot of other dogs and also attack people.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right? Maybe do drugs and maybe ride motorbikes
like that
at unsafe speeds.
So it's like you can see it like biting something, like it's chained up in the bikey's backyard and it's biting somebody who tried to jump the fence. It's got a huge metal chain and there's three other dogs that are on big metal chains and they're also biting the man. And you're walking by watching this happen and the dog's biting and he looks up at you and it gives you a little wink. you give him a little nod.
So you just, and you're walking past, eh?
Yeah. But you know, you don't.
He gives you a little wink that says, "Don't blow this for me."
Yeah.
Okay. I've been this this is an 18-month operation, and if you make a scene now, all of that goes.
That's right.
All of that's wasted.
Yeah, and the dog's we're this close to evidence. Busting
this thing wide open.
What kind of evidence could the dog be collecting?
I don't know. I mean, maybe, look, we think about what do dogs do. They eat a lot of shit, weird stuff off the ground. So, and then they like do, sometimes if they eat weird stuff, they do like to vomit it up again later on.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe that's the dog's job.
That's
you know, go in, eat a lot of weird stuff off the ground and the bikey hang out.
You just put in a little, you put in a like, just at nighttime, you go in and you just slide a little like square of like turf, fresh turf. Right? Like that. And you slide that in and the dog comes and eats that grass. Okay. And then vomits on the turf.
Yeah.
Isn't that what they do? They often eat grass and then vomit. And then you later on, you come back and then you just slide that sample out and then you go have
you
it tested.
He's just licking. The dog could be shitting. It could be shitting on the turf, you know?
Could be.
And then you're going through that shit and finding traces of clues.
But he's just licking stuff off the ground. So stuff like that. So if there's like traces of cocaine and different things like that, then you know that it's got to be in there. It's, you know, that dog's not leaving that compound.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Undercover dog. Now, what about this? Undercover dog boss.
Yes,
he just pretends to just be, because it's the leader of the
boss's dog. Okay, it's the leader of the pack pretending to just be one of the other dogs, just one of the not leaders of the pack dogs, whatever they're called.
And he
one of the members of the pack
puts on a mustache,
gets a broom. Great.
The other dog
goes around. What do you think of the leader of the pack? He says to the other dogs.
Yeah. He's.
We're asking a lot of the listeners to give us the benefit of the doubt when we laugh at this idea.
It's. I mean, it'd be so hard to pull off to get the dogs to act right.
It would be so good to get two different performances out of the same dog.
Yeah.
I mean, that's also the case when you do the undercover dog, you know, going into the criminal syndicate or whatever.
Yeah. Well, there's a chance that we could actually get quite a bad dog. And then just add the winks in a bit later, you know?
Oh, yeah, great. We get a really terrible dog with just awful, awful personality problems, right? We film all the stuff where he's attacking people and that kind of thing to start with. You film that first. Then
you sedate him.
You train the dog.
Oh, no, okay.
You train the dog, and then you put the dog in with some little kids and stuff.
Yeah.
You train him really
That's
well.
Really good,
and then you put him in with the little babies and
you just
things,
take a
and
wild dog.
Them.
Yeah, really wild.
Oh, it's a great, you know, I saw I think it was a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, possibly, or maybe somebody else, where like it turns out he looks exactly like the leader of some kind of terrorist organization. Maybe it was called the Jackal, right?
Yeah.
And then he gets trained up and sent in undercover to this organization to try and bring it down. They get the other guy out and they send him in there. Right?
Yeah.
It'd be great if you found a dog that looked exactly like the dog owned by, you know, Osama bin Laden.
That's right, yeah.
Still alive, right? Still alive.
Oh, yeah. Or maybe
Abu Bashar.
You know, Abu Bashar, you know, what was his name?
Bashir?
Yeah.
Is he
Abu
still
Bashar,
alive?
Well, maybe not. Bashir? Is it Bashir?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah. Which one is he? Was he a sidekick?
Alternative history.
Oh no, he's a the Indonesian guy, wasn't he? Was he the smiling assassin? No, maybe not.
Oh, I don't know, Al. It's appalling that we don't know our international.
Oh yeah, no, he was a, no he was an Indonesian Muslim cleric.
Sure.
So and he ran a boarding school in Ngruki, Central Java. You getting some phone vibrations, Andy?
Yeah, you picked that up.
Oh yeah, I'm picking it up. It's either that or your
phone vibrations,
or your German Shepherds is making a lot of weirder sounds. You know what?
Anyway, yeah, this family dog, normal family dog. Maybe it's even like a lap dog. Could be a fluffy little dog. Turns out looks exactly like this psychopath dog. It's a dog that works as a therapy dog in hospitals for sick kids, right? But then it looks exactly like the dog owned by this terrorist leader. And they have to retrain it and send it in. And it's called the Jackal.
Oh, it's because the terrorist has a jackal instead of a dog?
Yeah, it's the Jackal. Yeah. What is a jackal? Is a jackal, it's not the same as a hyena, is it?
No, it's just kind of like a thinner looking dog, kind of somewhere between like a wolf and a fox and a dog. You're looking at one right now?
No, I'm just thinking about them, and I'm trying to. They're not hyenas. The hyenas laugh, but you can say laughing like a jackal, can't you? You laugh like a hyena,
and you change costumes like a jackal.
Jackalinonassus.
No, oh, yes, that's good. By the way, while you were also coming up with the. I think that
the movie's called Jackal in Onassis.
There's a sketch in
it's the town Onassis
in the making of there's a film in it's a making of this undercover dog movie.
Yeah,
you know, and it's the guys trying to make it happen. You know, and
now we really need three performances out of this dog because it's doing the role right of the lap dog. Yeah. Then it's doing the role of the of being the psycho undercover,
yeah.
But then it also has to play itself in the behind the scenes footage.
And there's a chance that they just, you know, that it's not an actor dog. They just literally get one an aggressive dog from the pound, you know, and so they might not have a third role.
Yeah,
because I don't know.
Sure.
Because I'm not even sure if dogs say that are acting. I mean,
sure. I mean, that's probably controversial.
You know, I mean, a lot of the time, you know, one of the big criticisms of Lassie is that he kept playing the same character over and over again.
Is that one of the big criticisms?
Yeah,
is it?
I would say.
Okay.
Many people would suggest that it was the role she was playing. It was very much kind of like Bill Murray and just mostly playing herself.
I think that there is probably also a sketch to be had about the dog that played Lassie trying to take on other types of roles after being typecast. You know, it's maybe not a sketch we would do, but I believe there's something there.
Yeah. And so, okay, let's see. Lassie getting typecast.
Yeah, man.
Typecast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Do you spell that cast with an E?
Yeah, that's right. I do. It's a reference to the Indian typecast system. I mean, I guess that kind of is what it is, right? It is kind of a typecasting system where they're like, well, this is what you do.
Yeah,
sorry.
This is your.
We'd love to give you a role other than as an untouchable, but That's just how people see you. It's your image. It's going to be very difficult for the viewers to believe you to get as anything else.
Mm. What if you can just kind of leave town and then just kind of see if you can, you know, go to a new town and maybe like pass yourself off as something else? Do you think?
Yeah.
Do you
think you I mean, that would be the, you'd think, you'd hope that that would be possible.
Even if you could just make it to touchable.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or even just not untouchable.
Always very touchable. How are we going for sketch ideas, well, Alistair?
I mean,
Andy,
luckily we have one, two, three, four dog sketch ideas, mostly based around the same idea. And so if you add that to our four other almost sketches, it makes for quite a hefty list. So then I guess that would take us to the three words from a listener, if you would be happy to go to that.
Oh, yeah. We padded it out with dogs out the wazoo.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go there.
Well, today's listener is Crud.
Hey.
Hey, Crud. Big play.
I'd call Crud a, I don't know if this is, you know, taking a liberty, but I feel like calling Crud a friend of the show.
I would say Crud is a friend of the show. Big player in the Discord.
In the Discord, yeah. Heavy hitter.
One of the heavy hitters in there. I would say a celebrity in the Discord.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some big, and that's saying a lot because there's some big celebrities in that Discord.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I actually don't want to name anybody because I feel like if I don't name one person, then that's, it wouldn't be fair.
No, I think they're all celebrities.
They're all constantly in my eyeballs. Mm. So anyway, Crud wanted you to guess three words from a listener, and I think the listener was a thing. So, what's the first word, Andy? Any word? Name a word. Any word.
Whistling.
Yes, it's whistling.
Yeah, great.
It is whistling.
No, it's not.
It is. It's whistling. Now, no, it's not. Try to guess the second word.
Okay. Have they just said to tell me that I got it right no matter what I say?
Indeed. No, that's not going to be the case.
Okay. Bristling. The second word is bristling.
I'm sorry. That's incorrect. The second word is whistling.
Okay, is the third word whistling?
Andy, the third word is whistling. You almost got all three.
I hate this.
Why?
I hated that.
Why?
I had a really bad time.
I thought it was really nice. I think it was really lovely.
It's really driven a wedge between us.
Well, Andy, it's now our relationship is, we're no closer than, say, Alistair and Ben Russell.
Yes,
incapable
that's right.
of becoming the friends we probably both want to be. I'm not sure, except for Ben.
I don't know.
Both
I
of
don't
us
know.
Except for Ben.
Except for Ben.
You and me want, you know, the friends that you and me want Ben and me to be friends.
Both one of us is really keen on this.
Yeah. So whistling.
Okay, whistling.
What about this?
Okay.
Think about this. What's the opposite of a whistling competition where if you whistle, you lose?
What?
You know what I mean? It's like the opposite of a whistling.
Okay, so in your world, a whistling competition is one where if you whistle, you win. Is that right?
Well, you know,
and then the opposite of that is one where
the best
whistle,
whistler
you lose.
Wins, I guess. The best whistle wins, and so the opposite could be that if you whistle, you lose.
I mean, I love the idea of a bass whistler, someone who can whistle it a really low whistle, and I'd love to hear what that sounds like. You know, I mean, that's probably it. You know what? I've heard it now, and I'm not interested anymore. Mm.
But because you know those like bass flutes and stuff like that, yeah. they have to be so gigantic in order to get a kind of anything that sounds even a bit bassy.
Yeah.
They're like sure. this half the size of, you know, like the size of a closet. But maybe like a penny whistle, because a penny whistle is so small.
Yes.
You know, maybe or an ocarina, maybe a bass ocarina. You could just get it like sure. the size of a suitcase or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
A piccolo. A bass piccolo. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the highest pitched sounds. Is there such a thing as a bass piccolo?
I think that's probably like a piccolo is just a high pitched flute, right? So probably just the bass flute is the bass piccolo. I don't think you can then have a bass version of a high-pitched version of a regular instrument without just ending up back where you started.
What? Wait, I have found what? A bass piccolo here. Hang on.
Oh, all right, then. I take it back. Is it called a picca very low?
No, well, there's also a style of playing the bass which is called piccolo bass.
It's a beautiful word, piccolo.
Piccolo. I know. Where do you think piccolo's from?
I think it's from Italian. I think all the good words are from Italian.
No, not all the good words.
And I think
words.
We should probably just
what about
switch
kindergarten?
Over. Australia, let's decide to start speaking Italian. I think
we don't,
it would be...
We don't have the enthusiasm.
I think, you know, what would really piss off the English, because you know they hate losing to us at cricket. I think we should also all start speaking Italian.
Yeah, that's good. So they also lose us, like as in they had us speaking English.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, well, that's not too bad. And so why did we do that?
Maybe it's just our cricket team that speaks Italian. We might not all have to learn
it. Oh, yeah. So then,
but I just think it would be wonderful to see them out there in the baggy green. Is that what they call it? In the baggy greens.
Yeah.
Speaking in their beautiful Italian, rich.
Well, I think you good. Mean in
think
their
this could be what...
in their Verde Largo.
Verde Largo. Correct.
Verde Largo.
Anyway, that's
Verde Largo.
That's nothing.
Verde Largo. Out there in the Verde.
But I, you know, but also you'd have some wonderful florid language that we could use when we're swearing at them in our non-native tongue.
Floral, yeah. Look, Andy, is this our sketch idea?
Yeah, I guess.
It's not whistle, whistle, whistle. This is not whistling,
what
whistling,
about
whistling.
Whistler's mother?
Eh?
What about that?
Yeah.
Whistler's mother.
Whistling's mother?
what about this? Whistler, smother, right? Somebody is whistling so much that you... put a pillow over their mouth,
yeah,
and you kill them.
I feel like a whistling-based horror.
And they
horror
whistle
film.
Their last whistle.
He's whistled,
right? Their death whistle. You hear their death whistle.
Like, so wait, are you using whistling to kill or whistling? Oh, cutting off their lips. It's a guy who cuts off.
Oh, wow. And they'll never whistle again.
Of the whistlers. You know?
That's a great.
What would you cut them off with? What would be like a good thing to cut off the whole lip thing? Like, is there something that you could just put the, like, kissy lips?
I feel like scissors would do it.
Yeah.
You know? I feel like you just grab those lips, pull them out, and chop them off with a pair of scissors. Yeah. It's or secateurs. It's an awful thing to imagine doing to someone and having done to you. I think it's bad.
Yeah. That's
they're true. Both bad.
Yeah. Especially if it's done to you by you and you can't convince yourself otherwise. But still, doesn't feel quite sketchy enough, Andy.
Yeah. Are you sure?
Eh?
You sure? It feels like a classic sketch to me, chopping off somebody's lips.
Yes, so somebody walks into the kitchen, says, it's a daughter. She says, Dad, where are the scissors? He says, oh, well, they're where they usually are. And she goes, "Where's that, Dad?" And then he says, "Well, they're in the second drawer from the top with the you know the tongs and the blah blah blah, and the whisk." And then he says, "What do you need them for?" She says, "I'm going to cut off Johnny's lips because he won't stop whistling."
Great. And then he she runs off, and the dad calls out, "Oi!
No running.
You walk carefully when you're holding those."
Yeah.
End scene.
Yeah. I mean, neither of us feel sound satisfied, Andy.
No. It's made me think fondly, though, of our bit from Teleport about the reverse knife, which is designed specifically for safe handing, where the blade is where the handle should be and the handle is where the blade should be. So when you think you're handing it wrong, you're actually handing it right.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was enjoyable.
Yeah. Well, you think we'd do that with the lip cutting scissors as well?
With the scissors? Yeah, could be, you know.
What about, have we done a whistling language? Have we done that? It's a small suburb in Melbourne where there's a whistling language that still continues to
has emerged.
Day.
It's a dialect. Yes.
And everybody's pissed off with them. Oh, Andy, this is terrible.
Grind. Well, I mean, you know, there's not as much to go on as there usually is.
Yes, we stick to those words so much. Well, what does the three whistling make you think? That you know, you got to take out of the form.
Whistling. I mean, whistling, what is whistling? It's a thing that you can do to appear nonchalant, right? Supposedly.
Yeah.
You know, if you're committing a crime or something like that, you whistle so that nobody suspects a thing. Ah, he's just whistling, you think to yourself. Nothing untoward could be happening there. Now, what is another way in which you could deploy that, you know, the power of whistling to make what you're doing seem innocent? Are you committing war crimes? Are you
drowning?
Are you whistling? Are you drowning?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Or drowning somebody? Or drowning yourself? Are you stealing the Elgin marbles from Greece?
Sometimes you also whistle for enjoyment.
That's true.
The three whistles.
You're so happy.
The three whistlings.
Or you have a kettle that whistles when it's boiled. Could you have a penis that whistles when it's ready, when it's time for you to go to the toilet?
Yeah.
To go do a wee.
All right, I'm going to write that down.
Oh, wow.
Especially with somebody who's been drinking nothing but cups of tea.
Mm. Oh, very good. I think I've been drinking my tea too hot. Why is that, dear? Well, my penis whistles when it's time to go to the toilet.
That's like at a roast. For a guy, and all we know about him is that he drinks heaps of tea. You're roasting the guy who runs the Dilmah company.
Yeah, great.
This is Mr. Dilmah. This is your roasting the CEO.
Yeah.
Mr. Dilmah. Anyway, and then the joke.
Yeah, great. Oh, that's really good. He drinks so much tea, etc.
Skin color is not from the
his Indian heritage.
Indian heritage,
or possibly Sri Lanka.
Probably, I would say, due to the tannins in the tea from all the tea that he drinks. And
that's great.
When he speaks, it's very warm and enjoyable.
Mm. Right. See, we're roast guys now. This is what we do. It's a this is second nature to us. This is easy for us.
Yeah. All right. We're gonna read you through the things. Oh God.
Oh God.
Why was that so hard to get?
Just read them really quickly,
one.
Allison. Okay. Read them really quickly.
A person who left his fortune to his child's penis.
What?
That was one of the first things we said.
I don't remember that at all.
The black widow species. We have sex with Neanderthals, then wipe out their entire species. Then we have the Gumby soup. Oh, Andy, come on now. No, I said gumbo. A gumbo. And then we said, we should all go to the toilet in the open to make sure we don't get abused so that everybody can watch us. We've got sending a dog undercover as Peanut, but his name is Rover. But then, you know, there's more to it. But into a bikie gang.
Yeah.
Then we've got the making of that movie. So then we're going to get that movie, and then we're also going to get the making of it. Then we have normal dog looks just like terrorist leader's dog.
Great.
Then we have
that's another one Lassie, of this rich main vein.
Lassie getting typecast.
Mm.
And then we have a penis that whistles when it's ready to pee. This is one of the worst. Like, you know, I feel like I had fun during the thing, but I don't know how there's so little on the page that represents any fun.
Why does the penis not flop around all over the place when the wee comes out like a garden hose?
Yeah, like a fireman's hose.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I realize you're supposed to hold it, and that's part of it. But do you think if you didn't hold it?
I guess it's got some weight to it. Yeah.
Yeah, so that it doesn't flail.
Well, I don't
around.
Know if it will flail, but it will be lifted. It will get some kind of
lift.
You know, as Newton once told us that when that force of it ejecting, technically we should move backwards. I think like a rocket.
There
and
you
so
go.
You've got to tense up your calf muscles and lean forward. It's essentially a propulsion system. I think we're using it wrong. We're using peeing wrong.
Yeah, no, I think we might have had that actually in previous episodes as a form of propulsion.
I know, but...
Or maybe it was ejaculate.
But have you been using...
Either way, something to be proud
have
of.
Have you been peeing wrong this whole time? Yes.
Oh, you've been peeing wrong this entire time. That's a great bit of clickbait content.
All right. Well, I guess we better go into the song.
Thank you so much for listening to Two in the Think Tank. Maybe you remember some good bits from the episode.
Maybe, yeah, and then you could write those down instead and let us know if we have got a better write down than us.
If they exist.
You know, sometimes it would be nice to see, because you know, like, if you watch a boxing match, there's the judges, but some people like to judge at home, and they go, oh, I got it, that Lomachenko won the first, third, and the fifth round. Like that. It would be great to get... some of the
your
listeners'
list of
scorecards on what they think the sketch ideas were.
Yeah. I'm picking that Lassie typecast one will be featuring pretty heavily.
Pretty heavily, yes.
Alistair, everybody should go and listen to your recent episode of Who Knew It with Matt Stewart. It's a comedy masterclass.
It's a comedy masterclass. I have no idea what happened. I have no memory of what happened, but I remember Matt saying he's going to have to cut out most of it.
That hurts.
Yeah, well, because he has to put the rude bits at the end and the non-important bits at the end now. Also, I don't think it's been released yet, but I did an episode of Murph's Tavern. But it's a Simpsons-based podcast by Murphy McLaughlin. And, you know, if you want a Simpsons podcast, go check that out and then get yourself acclimatized to it. And then you'll be ready for when my episode comes out, which might be soon. You know, who knows? It's called Murph's Tavern. talk to you soon. We're going to go now.
And we love you.
Bye. Bye.